This episode of MMA Nuts is brought to you by Host Papa. Get your website live today. Save 15% off with hosting code MMA Nuts. Strikingly, create a beautiful website with zero code or design skills. Save 11% off your first payment with code MMA11. Dentalplans.com. Join a plan and save money off dental procedures. Save 10% off plus 3 free months with code MMA Nuts. Fence Soap. Be clean like Ovaline. Save 15% off with code MMA Nuts. Hey fans, it's MMA Nuts, episode 296.
296!
My name is Ingo Weigold.
Matt Griffith, MMA Show. By MMA fans, for MMA fans, we're walking line between serious and ridiculous. It's so funny how we just turn it on.
Yes, like from zero.
The key, or the mood is low. The show starts, it goes up to 11.
Back down to
7. And back to 2.
Yeah, well, I feel like we've done this so many damn times. It's probably
it's
one of those like
a nature.
You just start counting me down in the middle of nowhere and be like, oh, it's episode whatever. Wait a second, like a Pavlov's dog over here,
regurgitating shit.
Yes, salivating. Yep. Speaking of salivating, it is fucking hot in the Midwest. Holy shit!
How hot is it, Ingo?
90s. I'm sitting in the shade today, and my balls are literally sweating from doing nothing. That's fucked up. Swamp ass everywhere. Just like, you know. Nice fermented ass. Think about that.
Enjoy. I hope you're eating dinner.
Yes.
With your family and enjoying a nice ribeye steak cooked medium rare with some mushrooms sautéed.
Ooh.
It's onion sautéed on.
Oh, yes.
Mushrooms.
It's a little butter. A little wine reduction.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. And then my sweaty ass right on top.
Right. And balls. His balls just draped across your steak.
Perfect.
Works out.
All right. We drag it into
au jus.
Au jus. Yes. All right. So let's talk a little UFC action.
Okay.
Because over the weekend, I did have the opportunity to sit in some air conditioning and watch UFC Fight Night 89, which was quite the event, Matt. I was impressed. The card was not that stacked, but the fights were good.
Well, then it was another early weigh-in. Do you think that had anything to do with the fighters being... Or maybe everyone's back on PEDs since USADA doesn't update their fucking website.
Oh, yes. When did you say it was the last time they
June
updated?
9th.
It's like a month ago.
We're hiding drug tests. Maybe Brock Lesnar failed. What?
No.
Allegedly.
No, I mean... Everybody looked, I thought, especially the standout to me was Donald Cerrone. I was like, wow, he looks fucking big. You know, I always remembered him being super skinny, and then I'm going, damn. And we had some good fights on this card. There was, they're talking this Bossy Sean O'Connell fight was like fight of the year potential.
I mean, that's some crazy shit. They're about murdering each other in that thing. What's going on? Yes. That guy's getting rocked. That guy's getting rocked. That guy's thinking about playing the fucking trumpet again, getting stiffed.
Yep.
That was Bossy that one time. I think his first fight in UFC when he got flatlined. Yeah, that one was good. And then we had another wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, yeah, which
between,
one?
Between Valerie Letourneau and...
Joan Calderwood?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What happened? Nip slip?
Yeah, she went to do a push kick to the face and did a foot drag and a titty pop out.
Ooh, was it a big titty?
You couldn't tell. She was very quick with the cover up.
Yeah. They got to do something about this because this happens happening more and more.
Didn't I say we approve? I think Reebok is staying classy. Stay true to your form. They designed these MMA gear for performance. They've gone through thorough testing.
Maybe we should glue them on.
No! More tits that expose is a good thing. Okay. Just we need to see them. And I think the funny thing for that fight was after the fight was won and they're showing the replays, they show the angle. Because the first angle, you had Valerie's back to the camera and you couldn't see the tits come out. But then when they did the replay of like the fight-winning move, they had the right angle and they showed the foot hit in the face, drags down, tit pops out. Like, what are you guys doing? I approve. I approve.
Matt is in favor. All that second emotion? Aye.
And that was a brutal finish in that fight, too.
Yeah.
She kicked her in the midsection, and then Valerie turns around, and then she knees her in the ass, and then hit her with a couple elbows and a spinning back fist to drop her.
Goddamn.
I like it. And then we go right to Donald Cerrone, Patrick Cote. What happened?
Well, sir, I will say this. I was impressed by Cerrone striking. He got off first in most of the exchanges. had a pretty stiff jab working, was doing a lot of 1, 2, 3, 4, and nothing, it was, I mean, his stand-up looked really smooth. There was no, you know, one and done. It was a lot of multiple combos. He starched Cote a couple of times and knocked him flat on his ass, and somehow Cote survived. I don't know what kind of, is the, what do you call that, a flash KO, a friggin' knockdown, whatever.
I think I had him out like 4 times. I don't remember anybody ever knocking him down 4 times. No.
Yeah, and this is a guy who's a weight class coming down, and Cerrone's a weight class down coming up. I mean, this is impressive. Cerrone's arms, I thought, look huge.
He's doing a lot of leg kicks, too.
Yes. Shuck, shuck. Yes, and, you know, I like this Donald Cerrone. I feel like he has more power. He's got speed. He's got energy. Didn't look tired. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a good thing. I'm liking what I'm seeing here. I don't know how he'll do against the top competition at this weight class, but I'm impressed because Cote is a pretty strong dude. I mean, shit. And he ended up winning by TK, like almost, was it third round?
Yeah, it's the third round. And he's the first one with a legitimate TKO win over
Cote.
Mm-hmm. This is other one, as was pointed out by one of our fans. The other KO loss on Cote's record is the Anderson Silva knee blowout.
Yes.
I thought that was a submission loss.
We were there.
Yeah.
That was bullshit.
The crowd was none too happy. I thought there were going to be fights on the way out for sure. It was a brutal crowd. But do you want to see him stay at 170 or go to 155?
Stay at 170, man. I like it. I think they should hook up a fight between him and, like, Diaz.
The rematch?
Yes. Do it.
Do it now?
Now's a good time.
Yeah? Well, was he complaining about getting paid, too, wasn't
he? Yeah, says he's not getting paid enough. Although, I thought I read he was the highest paid fighter on the card. Is that?
He might have been.
Oh, by Reebok. He got the most bonus, yes. Most Reebok money. Obviously, he's had, like, what, 16, 18 wins in the UFC or something?
Oh, he's up there. I don't know if I took a picture of that. I think they put a stat up that said, who have the most wins in the UFC?
He's up there.
And yeah, it's Michael Bisping and GSP tied at 19, Matt Hughes at 18, and Donald Cerrone and Damian Maia are both at 17. This is most wins in UFC history.
No shit. The guy's active. He fights 4 or 5 times a year, so it's kind of crazy.
He wants to fight on UFC 200.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 3 weeks later.
He's like, I think that's what's going to dictate the next fight he takes is either 155 or 170, whichever weight class will get him a fight the fastest.
Sure.
And that's kind of unfortunate for Cerrone. If you were in charge of the UFC, what do you think he's worth for a fight? I don't know what he's making, but I'm assuming it's not in the $100,000 range.
Cerrone, I think he's a solid 250, I would say. Quarter mil. Nice solid quarter mil. Yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
You don't have boring Cerrone fights, do you?
No. No, he wins, he loses. It's always exciting. Doesn't matter, you know.
Something happens.
Even that that Diaz fight, I think he wants that one back. That third round, man, I felt so bad for him. Remember when they came out and Diaz is like, "What's up, motherfucker?" And Sony's like, "Fuck."
Yeah, he's got that look. I know I gotta come out, and I know I'm gonna get my ass kicked.
Yes,
but so I have to.
That's why I like that fight. I think they should redo that.
Sure.
At this weight class, because that was at 155, wasn't it? Yeah. So let's do that. Run it back. See what happens.
Seems to be the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Run it back.
Yes, sir.
Then we have Stephen Wonderboy Thompson versus Roy McDonald in one of the most exciting matches that I've ever seen, like I predicted.
Oh, Christ.
This is the most boring chess match I think I've ever seen. And, you know, Roy McDonald's going for these rolling thunder leg locks. Like, yes. What are you doing? Dude, I like it. It's something different, right?
Hey, that's Jonathan Danner. The leg locks, Ryan Hall shit, you know? It almost worked, but he couldn't get keep a hold of that shit.
No, he was too wiry and kept getting out. And,
yeah.
And then I think by about the fourth round, when Rory's nose started bleeding, it looked like he's having some lingering effects from Lawler still. It was one of the concerns, like, is he still damaged or not? And it changed how he was fighting.
Oh,
and
yes.
It seemed more of a defensive style, wasn't being as aggressive. And like, fuck. You know, there's a lot of questions that come out of this fight, so let's start with Wonderboy. Do you think he should get the title shot next? Because this was number one and two fighting.
Yeah.
You have Lawler and Woodley going at it.
I think he should. What was it? He's on a 7 or 8 fight win streak, right?
Thompson? I don't know if it's that high, maybe five.
Five. The one thing, you know, there's a lot, he got a lot of shit yesterday on the interwebs because they say that he's a boring fighter. He's a point fighter. The problem is that I think no one's really figured out his style yet. So people don't know how to deal with
him. It's like when Machida came on the scene, right?
He's elusive, right? And, you know, I thought Rory had a good game plan. I was on the edge of my seat for a good round and a half going, this is exciting. He's doing something. He's working the chess game. And I'm like, well, wait a second. Is he ever going to do anything other than just try to work the, you know? So I think this is the problem people have with him. They don't know how to attack this guy, you know? And I don't know what the right move is or who's who. So you have Lawler and Woodley, right? I don't know if I like either guy to be able to finish this guy. I think Thompson's pretty tough nut to crack, and I would say whoever he fights out of those two, he may take that belt. What do you think?
Well, where does Damian Maia fit in the mix?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, he's kind of due a title shot.
Yes.
How does Thompson fight Maia?
Well, Maia would be a good matchup because if Maia could get him to the ground.
Yeah, get me off your back, motherfucker.
Right. I got you in mouth.
Your back for
smack him a little bit.
Right. So that's an interesting matchup. But, you know, between the two, it's like who gets next shot?
I definitely think Maya's more exciting with his grappling than Thompson is with his weird style. And he wasn't very active in this fight either, which was surprising to me. I thought, you know, there was a lot of, I don't know if he was trying to play it safe or what, because Rory's so dangerous, but this is not what we want out of a championship fighter. I want to see people go for it. And, you know, if he's not going to do it, then I'd rather see Damian get the shot because Damian at least knows what he's good at. And he'll go for the ground game. I'll get excited for him being in mount and getting guys, you know, in weird spots. Where this is, I don't want to see this, you know. But I don't know. They should fight each other, I think. On UFC 200!
And I hate to do that to Maia because, God damn it, he keeps getting shit on for a title shot.
He does. Why is that? It's so weird.
I don't know, but I'm just not sold on Thompson. I don't know what it is. It's just...
Well, he has his dad in his corner, too, which I was thinking about this last night. I was like, hey, if I'm a dad, okay, and my son's fighting, like, that would be weird. Like, have you ever thought about that? Could you imagine being in the corner of one of your kids fighting in an event this big? And, like, what's going through your mind?
I wouldn't mind that.
You would be okay with it?
Yeah.
Because... And what's,
if I am skilled enough to give good advice.
Yes.
I mean, that's where it depends.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you got the opposite of that, which, I mean, you know, Frank Mir has his dad, and I don't know how much his dad knows about grappling,
right.
But I think they have a great relationship, so maybe he's there for moral support. But then you got Sage Northcutt, which, you know, apparently his father's nuts. So I wonder, is it a training camp issue? Does he need to get away from... Thompson, does he need to get away from his dad? And I think he trains over with Longo and Weidman and those guys. Maybe he needs a different camp, a different approach, a different look. He's been with them for a little while to kind of get away from the strategy. Dude, when he lets go, I'm going, wow, that's exciting. But we don't ever see that.
I think he's just playing it cautious. I mean, I think this is kind of what happens, too, when you have two top-level guys going against each other. Sometimes it's that weird stalemate where each guy kind of neutralizes the other.
Could be.
And you can't have this awesome war that you're expecting.
Like
every Robbie Lawler fight,
top level black belt jiu-jitsu fight, unless it's new school guys who are gopher broke. The old school guys are all super chess matchy. Yeah,
way too chess matchy.
I can appreciate it, but I just don't want to see that in a championship fight.
Yeah, and the thing that sucked for me is, you know, I'm watching these fights and I'm tired as shit, right? So going through it the first time, I fall asleep for the Cerrone versus Cote fight, and then I wake up for the Thompson versus McDonald fight. Like, why couldn't it have been the other way around? I, of course, went back and watched it, but it's like, fuck, watching it live. They went off late. I think it was 12:30 by the time this fucking thing's finished.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, come on, can you not start it a little bit earlier? Come on. We're fucking Central Time. I mean, East Coast was that goddamn 1:30 you're finishing? Come
very
on,
late.
Fuck. So, we'll see what happens. Rory, you know, do you think that hurts his stock for... You know, is he going to stay with the UFC or going to another organization? If he tests out free agency, do you think this fight hurt him?
Yes and no. I think, you know, from what I read about him, he's got a problem with his nose. Like, it's bleeding. Whatever happened with him and Lawler, I think it fucked his nose up. And he's going to go get some get it looked at and see what the story
you
is.
You get some titanium. You get a titanium nose.
I don't know what happens when your nose gets broke, but it. I mean, that thing started bleeding like crazy, and you got to think that a guy who went through a war like that basically had his face broken, you know, by Robbie Lawler. Now it's happening again, and it's got him mentally. He's only 26. I mean, Jesus. Guys start their career at 26, and he's had how many fights already? So you got to say to yourself, he has a chance. I think he should take some time off. I really think he needs to get to a different training camp. I'm not saying TriStar is bad, but he's been there forever. Go somewhere else, get a fresh look, have somebody give you some other pointers, other opinions. Maybe he goes out west to like AKA or something. I don't know. Just something else for a little while. Go train, go get technical, and then get healed up and come back. I think he will still be a UFC fighter when it's all said and done. You don't think so?
No way. Not with all the comments he made about free agency. He's already been blackballed. Remember, this is why he had this fight. I think he was supposed to have fight Hector Lombard in Australia, and he turned that one down.
Too far.
And they said, "Fuck you. You're fighting Thompson, and we'll give it to you in Canada." But he said, I think, you know, with the UFC, once you cross them, you're crossed them. And things have been said that can't be unsaid. And he's going down that route. But it seems like there's going to be a lot of people. He could go to ONE FC. He could go to Bellator, World Series of Fighting.
Mm-hmm. Or the new ownership might just keep him around.
Well, I mean, that remains to be seen.
If there is some.
Let's talk about this other fight. Fedor Emelianenko versus Fabio Maldonado.
Yes, Eurasian Fight Night 50 in St. Petersburg, Russia.
So I watched this fight, and I scored it a draw.
0-0.
I'm telling you, the first round, it's a 10-8 for sure for Fabio. But then round two and round three, the guy wasn't doing anything.
No.
And you know, you have this announcer who sounds like goddamn Borat. Isn't it nice?
Very nice.
And I think he's getting paid for saying the full names, because every time Fedor Emelianenko versus Fabio Maldonado. He's Italian now too. He's not only Russian, but he's Italian.
He says,
"I don't know what's going on. What the hell is going on in the octagon? There is no reason for him to be proud of himself." What did he say?
Awesome.
The crowd is chanting, "Fedor, Fedor." That means Fedor! What the fuck?
Awesome.
The UFC needs to hire this fucking guy.
This is amazing.
He was in top form. Like, oh my God.
Yes.
But there were some questions about, is the fix in? Because I think...
Once Judge scored it a draw. One favor of
29-28.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was two 29-28s for Fedor, but the ref, I think, in the circle gon, which it was, we're calling it an octagon for some reason, but I think the ref was Fedor appointed. I think there was some controversy in there.
Interesting.
So, and I know Fabio Maldonado is appealing the decision, but it's Fedor, it's in Russia, you're not going to win a fucking decision. It ain't going to happen. Someone's going to end up dead. Period.
Well, I showed you these pictures earlier. This is this man, Fedor.
Yeah.
He got his fucking ass beat in the first round. You can't even recognize him after the fight.
He got beat so bad that he looks like a high Jeff Ross, by the way. So you have that picture of Fedor. Here's the picture of Jeff Ross.
He does look like a high Jeff Ross. I picture, or like a Cain, JD Junior Dos Santos after Cain Velasquez. It's a similar look.
He beat him retarded. He's so happy.
It's sad because this is a guy who had all this mystique and aura for so long, and then he gets beat a couple times, and you want him.
It's
over, dude. Let it go. He didn't look him. I mean, he even looked more pudgy than he normally does. It just. I don't.
Well, I think to his credit, he said, "Yes, I could have went out there and took him down and submitted him, but I wanted to make it exciting for the fans."
Well, he did that.
He did. Didn't you say he made a Brock Lesnar impression at some point where he's doing a whirling dervish across the fucking circle gun? Man, what are you
getting
doing?
Knocked down. I don't know how they didn't stop this fight. It's only because it's Fedor, I think.
Right, yeah.
They're like, do not stop this fight unless his head pops off.
He's dead. He's not dead. We bring back.
Stand up.
Yes.
It's like one of those Kimbo Slice when he fought that cop guy. Remember they kept standing him back up? Let's go.
Sean Gannon or something.
Sad.
Unbelievable. So with this fight and that performance and all the rumors of him signing with the UFC, do you think the UFC signs him now?
No. Don't see it.
It's not worth it, right?
Or they might be thinking, well, here, his stock is the lowest it's ever been.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's build him back up.
Fuck. You could. I mean, but that's the thing. It's heavyweight, right?
Yeah.
So it's a 50-50.
Never know.
Right? I mean, absolutely. He didn't get stopped, if you want to look at it from that standpoint. Well, took barely. A fuck ton of punishment.
It's very close.
Beat him to a living death or yes. half.
I'll beat halfway. You to a living death.
Is that literally. Yes. Come on, Shamrock. Oh, man. That was tough to watch. Fucking Fedor.
Yes.
You want to hit some news?
Yeah, let's do some news.
You know, we're talking about that UFC sale. It seems the rumors were really heating up this week, and
yeah.
some sealed bids, and rumors were $4.1 billion, and sale is imminent. Rumors are Dana White will still stay around. He'll own 6-7%. Won't be any major changes, is the rumor, but do you think this is good or bad? Hard to say.
Did they say who might be buying this? China?
I think there was a China group. I want to say that someone that owns the New England Patriots might be involved in the purchase,
oh, yeah?
too.
Okay. I think a sale would be good. Shake it up a little bit. Maybe get some fresh perspective. I think things have become a little stale. And when there's new ownership, hopefully there's going to be some new management. I'm all for it. I'm okay with even... We haven't heard anything from Dana. He's a fucking rock star movie star now. He's not MMA promoter. When is the last time he said anything that's worth knowing? You don't see him anywhere.
No, he's
weird.
Been so silent.
Yes.
So and I don't know if that's because of the lawsuit, but it almost seems...
we keep saying that. It's been like 2 years. We
well,
say
the lawsuit's going to go on forever.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
You okay. know, these things take multiple years to come to fruition, but...
Okay.
Man, I just hope with Zuffa being out of the way that this opens up better fighter pay, maybe a union. I mean, it could be good or bad. I mean, what are they going to do? I don't think it can be worse, and I think you had to have Zuffa, you had to have Dana White to get the UFC to where they wanted it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe got too big. Maybe they could scale it back just a hair. I mean, right? You spread yourself so thin, you
yeah.
have... not the best events all the time, and maybe you could cut a few shows out a year, but man, get rid of Reebok or open it up to other sponsors. It seems like there's so many more opportunities for cool things they could do with new ownership, because Zuffa was like, it's our way or the fucking highway,
mm-hmm.
period. Ariel Helwani's breaking news, fuck that guy, he's out. Fuck that guy, he's back in. This guy fucks.
That's
like,
right.
what is going on?
Yeah, it was Ariel, I think, who broke this news first, too, on Twitter or something.
Mm.
Yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see if it actually happens. The word around the street is it'll be before the end of the month. So, before UFC 200.
Yeah, and then what's that rumor? Is Rogan sticking around?
Well, or? Yeah, apparently he had said on his podcast that he was not going to re-up his contract this week. Basically, he's done. And it's unclear what that means. Will he be announcing for UFC 200? Will he not be?
Will that be his last show? I mean, technically, I think it works out that way.
Yeah.
It's July 9th is the last number card, and typically the one after that, 201, should be August.
Is the event July 9th? Is that when it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
UFC 200, July 9th. Making it happen.
It'll be a sad day. I don't know.
It will be, because we were just talking about this before the show. You know, what Joe Rogan brings is the enthusiasm of a fan, and some of these fighters just do not bring that enthusiasm.
No.
Brian, Stan, Kenny, Florian.
Florian's the worst.
I vote for
oh
Stan,
my God.
But you can vote for Florian.
He's just terrible, man. He tries to be... It's just not. They need to bring in, like, a... I would even go for like a Mauro Ranallo type, you know, something like this, or the guy from Russia.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And this is nice, very nice. I don't know what the hell is going on. Like, what the fuck?
Maybe they can bring us in. Hey.
Maybe.
We could probably talk.
Get us all coked up. I don't do drugs.
Just Red Bull.
I just talk about
Red Bull that shit up.
Yeah.
Snort some Adderall.
Oh, EpiPens. We'll stab each other. Ready? Go! There you go. Smelling salts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still put my vote in for Cormier. When he loses the title, I think he'll probably retire.
Mm, he's not going to lose the title.
Maybe. Or he moves up to heavyweight.
I haven't thought
about
it.
He should move up to heavyweight. I got another question. What do you think it would be like to work for Zuffa, Ingo? You think that would be good or bad?
Where, in the office or traveling circus? I think if you're part of the traveling circus, holy fuck, I think your life is chaos. It's fun, but it's also exhausting. I mean, I remember Dana had said something about that guy that follows him around with the camera. This guy sleeping and shit. The guy's working 24/7. I think it never stops. You're just grinding. I'm sure, right? Especially now, it feels like the same day. It just happens over and over and over again. It would be exhausting.
It's like fucking Groundhog Day.
Yes. If you're in the offices in Nevada, I think it might be pretty damn cool. You know, you're just doing your thing, get to do this and that. Maybe some photo shoots with fighters and media days, whatever. But you're not running around like crazy. But I wouldn't want to be on the traveling circus. We did it a couple times. We went to, right? That's a marathon.
It's a whole day. And we did weigh-ins. We did
Detroit.
Open workouts, interviews, whole day show. 1 o'clock in the morning, fucking press conference. Mm-hmm. Like, God damn, can I go home?
That's right.
Like, it's tired. Once or twice. Do I want to do this forever? Hell no. Dude. This is not what we do.
No, sir.
Not what we do.
So,
the other reason I asked is because there was a website that posted, from other Zuffa employees, like what do they feel about how they worked at Zuffa? So they had pros and cons. So, former employee wrote this. They said pros: I got to travel all over the country and was on the road essentially every 2 weeks. I worked directly with talent and learned invaluable skills from my field. Cons. Very, very toxic work environment where politics reign supreme. The company is transitioning from a family business mentality to a corporate environment, so tensions are high and company culture is non-existent. Upper-level management seems more interested in promoting themselves instead of their subordinates. People with different ideas and opinions are seen as threats, and you'll notice a trend where those certain people will disappear from the company.
Nice.
You won't move up unless someone quits. Every department is territorial. Terrible pay for the amount of hours you work, especially on event week. Bonuses are a joke, and don't expect to be able to use any of your vacation. You're constantly reminded how lucky you are to be working for such a great company when they've clearly fucked you on pay, hours, and job duties.
It says fucked?
Well, it says F-D.
Okay. Nice.
So there's a website. I forgot which one. That pulls all the employee ratings. So,
sounds about right.
Right?
As I would have expected, yes. Too much work for too little pay.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine that lifestyle. Just I don't even know what day of the week you're leaving on a Tuesday or Wednesday, even covering the sport as like an MMA journalist. These guys are, see ya.
That's your Bruce Buffer. Then you're fucking living the life. Oh. That's a different story.
They say catching rays and banging chicks.
That's right, man. I mean, his six-pack and his TRT.
Yeah.
It's like,
he's working out.
He's banging three broads right before the broadcast.
Yeah.
So.
It's crazy.
It is. All right. Can we switch gears?
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So, I'd like to point out that Nevada is going to begin mandatory neurological examination of fighters beginning August 1st in order to get licensed. Also, California is expected to follow suit. And what they're going to do is the Cleveland Clinic is offering concussion C3 tests, and they're going to be administered free of charge in Las Vegas. I assume it's due to some sort of brain study they're doing, but I think this is great. I think this should have been mandatory a while ago. They've had this technology for a while. I don't know why they haven't been doing it, but they should be. In all sports that involve physical contact, to study the brain. To make sure it's okay.
Why? Just let him fight.
To make sure it's okay, man.
Fight till you're retarded.
Fight till you're retarded. Okay.
Move around. I'm just kidding. Jesus Christ.
Fight till you're retarded.
It's a joke.
You know,
take a joke.
Do I need to remind you of my next article?
Go ahead.
John Howard, finally freed. by diagnosis of clinical autism at age 33.
We're gonna do it. I'm taking your bait, Ingo. Ah. You're giving me clickbait right
yes,
now.
Yes, I am. You have
you're
no comment
on BJPen.com-ing me right now as I sit next to you.
Doomsday Man apparently has clinical autism, which
what does that mean?
Explains a lot.
Is he retarded? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, socially awkward. You know, issues with learning. These kind of things.
How does that not get diagnosed
for
33 years?
Dude, I firmly believe that most doctors don't know what the fuck they're talking about unless you give them all the information. And it's almost like you're providing them data, but you have to present it in a way that makes sense to them. And if you leave things out, maybe they can't come to firm conclusions. I firmly believe that. It's a fucking crapshoot. And you might run into a doctor who's like, hey, I think it might be this. Or you have another doctor who's like, I don't know. And apparently, John Howard, maybe, you know, I don't know.
I was at one doctor that would ask all these questions, and he's entering everything into a computer to try to figure out what the fuck's going
What's
on.
What's the formula?
Like, I don't know if I feel good or bad about this. Like, I get it. He's trying to use technology, but shouldn't he be able to form some opinions on his own? Like, didn't you go to school for this? Any fucking monkey can sit in front of this computer right now and ask the question on a computer and then try to get to a diagnosis of what you think is going on. I don't need a legitimate professional to do that.
No. Bedside manner is fucked. They don't, I firmly believe nowadays doctors are not health practitioners, but they are drug pushers.
They're drug dealers, 100%.
They are just part of a system, and there are good ones out there. There for sure are, but most of them are kind of like, oh, take this. I mean, my parents are in their 60s, right? And I hear them talk. I'm like, who the fucking doctor are you going to? They're like, oh, you got this problem, take this. You got this problem, take that. How about you should clean up your diet, get some exercise, go outside a little bit, do some walking, maybe lose a little weight, whatever. It's very sad that doctors nowadays are just... That's what they're doing. And when I go to see a doctor, you always see that guy walking in, right, with the fucking free food or whatever. He's probably a guy who's pushing drugs, right? Hey,
I'm in the office, and it's always it's either a hot chick or like a handsome guy.
Of course.
That wants to suck some dick. What?
That's right. Long as you're pushing his drug of choice to your patients.
It's basically you have a model coming in to push the drugs.
Yes. That is a good lucrative field, apparently. There's people making a lot of money selling that shit.
I hear ya.
Drugs are big
drugs
business.
Drugs are bad.
So anyways, Matt gives no fucks about brain trauma or autism. Fuck it all.
Yeah, fighting until you're Chuck Liddell.
That's right. Whoa. Take it a hold
on. Hey. Easy. Brock Lesnar just got his blue belt in jiu-jitsu, Ingo.
He did.
And I know a lot of people have been shitting on Brock, like, fuck this guy, and... You know, oh, he just shows up for a week and he gets his blue belt. We both trained under Caprito, you more so than me, and he's told you stories about him training with Brock, and I was hoping maybe you could shed a little light to the fans on what that entails.
Okay, and I'm going to paraphrase because this was a few years ago he told me this story.
Yeah.
But so my details are slightly, you know, loose around the edges, but I will say that the general gist of what I'm about to say is very true. So the first time he went out there to train with Brock, he didn't know what to expect. Fucking Brazilian guy going with he's like, all I heard is he's a big motherfucker and he's a wrestler, right? And he was like, holy shit. I called my wife like after the first day and I'm like, I'm literally getting scared for my safety because this guy is so fucking strong. He can just pick me up and throw me and do whatever the fuck he wants from anywhere. And this is a black level at the top level of jiu-jitsu who is literally saying this guy is extremely scary. I mean, he can do things that he shouldn't be able to do, and he's no joke. And I know that they worked on his submissions. Shane Carwin, that was planned. They planned to finish him that way. And I know that there was a lot of Homer Simpson involved before.
It doesn't matter. He got the sub.
Yes, he got it. But Caprito is he's not the Eddie Bravo or whoever of jiu-jitsu who's trying to promote his, like, you know, million schools. He's a legit guy, and he's not going to just give out a belt for no reason. I think he's trained Brock, you know, multiple times, and he has told me many times that Brock is no joke, and he picks things up very fast, and he's very meticulous, Brock. I mean, he learns things, and, yeah, okay, the average person, it takes you a year or two to get a blue belt. But, dude, he's a wrestler. I mean, the guy has experience, and a blue belt is basically, like, I think you're. It's like an associate degree to me, right? Mm-hmm. It's a two-year degree, right? You don't really get a bachelor's until you get the purple, you know, and then your brown is like your master's, and then when you get a black, you get your doctorate, and then it's like a PhD, whatever, after that. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. People are blowing it way out of proportion.
No, and especially if you have a wrestling pedigree like he had. He was, what, a Division I champion?
Yes.
I mean, that should translate. You've seen a stud wrestler dominate a fucking black belt in jiu-jitsu. Who was it? That was it, the when Tim Kennedy fought Hodger Gracie, right? Didn't he fucking just control him on the ground?
Yes.
Like, fucking shit.
Oh, and remember he came into Comprito's gym back when they were at the other place.
Yes.
And Jonatus was, I remember Jonatus going, holy shit, this guy's fucking, holy shit. Like, Jonatus is a legit black belt too.
There was a little size disadvantage there though,
but
still, he should have been able to.
He couldn't do shit against them, nothing. And I mean, it's, dude, the wrestlers are no joke. Now, granted, you get to a certain point, and of course, jiu-jitsu can beat that, but it's all a chess game, so. People, calm down. It's a blue belt. It's not like he gave him a black belt. Okay, it's a fucking blue belt. Seriously,
training 2 weeks. It's black belt.
Blue. You know, that's like entry level. That means he's like,
probably actually higher than that.
He's probably a purple belt, I would guess.
Yes.
You know, maybe he doesn't know all the moves, and I don't know. Fucking, calm down, people.
Calm down, internet. It's just calm down.
It's people going crazy. I love the picture though. It's like my favorite.
It's awesome.
With the fucked up foot.
Yeah, so everyone's kind of like, what is going on? He's got muscles on his fucking toe bones. What's toe muscles. On?
He's so huge. That's crazy.
We're getting some. We might be getting new UFC weigh-in procedures coming to Nevada shortly.
Great.
They're saying they're discussing it. I guess at the June 21st meeting. Do you see why any athletic commission out there would be against that at all? To weigh in earlier.
No. I mean. I don't know. What would be the reason? That
doesn't make any sense. I know. So I don't know why everyone isn't just jumping on board right now. I mean, if California did it, they did it in fucking Ottawa. Why not? And Nevada probably going to do that. I think everyone should just cross the board. I mean, we saw great fights again, right?
Yeah. Does that mean they have to show up twice? Would they have to show up at nighttime?
But that's just for show.
But would the commission have to show up?
If people didn't do the actual weigh-in beforehand, I think they still have to come if there's one fighter that still needs to weigh in. But I don't know from a like the technical standpoint, do they actually have to be there? I don't think they do if everyone already weighed in.
I'm just thinking from a cost situation. Maybe that's why they're opposed, because it costs them more money. But, I mean, I assume they have to, I don't know.
Safer fights.
Yeah.
More rehydrated fighters. It's win-win. Everyone, when you get to the face-offs, everyone's not all pissy and fuck you, like Ronda Rousey running into Holly Holm. What are you doing? Yes. What the fuck are you doing?
Did you ever get a response on your percentage thing? No. Okay.
No.
Matt was looking into the rehydration California statistics State. For California. No answer. So.
No answer. I'll try to follow up again this week. Have you seen Dan Henderson's logo? I know people have been talking about this. This is when he's going to fly down and smash
it.
Michael Bisping.
Yes.
I've never seen that until
it's
this
awesome.
Week. A lot of people were
Doesn't
talking
he have a tattoo
that.
Of that somewhere? No, maybe not.
I don't know. The amount of heat that's going on for that fight is unbelievable. It almost sounds too good to be true. Like, it's got to happen.
It must. Chris Weidman threw his hat in the ring there.
Fuck off, Weidman.
Back off.
No.
Yes. No thanks.
You got any other news? Or
nothing,
some
I don't
here?
Think. Let's see. Let's get to some questions.
All right. Do some Ask the Nuts. So, which MMA fighter do you think had the biggest fall from grace? And this will be multiple choice. I'll lay it out for you. Anthony Pettis. He goes from being on the cover of the Wheaties box to losing 3 fights, then changing camps, and then changing weight classes.
Okay.
Krokop, when he came to the UFC, was not having the best of times and performances. Mm-hmm. Ronda Rousey. Undefeated, and then loses in devastating fashion, and then contemplates suicide and still has yet to return to MMA.
Okay, I know who you're going to say next.
Yep, Mayhem Miller.
I was not guessing that.
Who?
Is there anyone left?
No, just those 4.
I was going to say Anderson Silva.
You think that one's pretty big?
In my mind's eye, I'm thinking of the time and putting myself in that situation. I'm saying that was probably the most shocking moment for me.
So he loses to Chris Weidman legitimately. He gets knocked out, breaks his leg the second time, tests positive for steroids after a Nick Diaz fight, and then loses to Michael Bisping. A lot of controversy and all that, too. Four fights, four controversies. You gonna go with that one?
I got to go with Silva. I think second. I think the Pettis thing. I think Pettis was probably slightly overrated. So for me, that's kind of. I mean, Wheaties box or not, whatever. I would say the other choice would definitely be Ronda Rousey out of those that you gave me. So.
Yeah, I'm thinking Anderson, age caught up to him.
Yeah.
So I can kind of. I mean, it's not too shocking. I think the thing that for me, when I'm thinking biggest fall and youth, it's got to be Pettis. Like, he was the fucking champ. He was the first guy to be on the Wheaties box. I'm like, God damn it. Like, he's supposed to reign supreme and do Showtime kicks. And
maybe he forgot to eat the Wheaties?
It just didn't happen. Like, what happened? Now the guy's running, and he's going down a weight class. Look at Donald Cerrone. He goes up. Go up. I think my next choice is Ronda.
Yeah.
You know, that one's tough. It's tough.
It's a good question.
Which champion has the best chance of moving up a weight division and winning a second belt?
Do they have to be current champions?
Yeah.
Shit. I was going to say John Jones, but...
Well, he is interim champion, so you can take John Jones.
I'll take John Jones.
Okay. Fortunately, the heavyweights can't move up. That's tough. Can Robbie Lawler go up and win against Michael Bisping? I think that's a safe bet. I'd take that one all day, all night. Maybe.
Who's got the 55 belt? I'm trying to remember.
I'm still processing Robbie Lawler here. Okay.
He's processing. He's computing.
Rafael dos Anjos.
Thank you. Yeah, never mind. Can't see that.
He can't go up and beat Robbie Lawler. I'm going to go with Robbie Lawler.
Okay, I like it.
Ben Less, do you think we've seen better performances and more entertaining fights since the UFC changed their weigh-in system? Fighters seem to have more energy and can withstand more damage, or just coincidence?
A resounding 100% yes. And yes. They should keep doing it, please.
Yes. Carol West, do you guys think Cerrone can make a legitimate run at welterweight or the welterweight belt? And if so, how do you think he matches up against the current champion?
I think he could. He's got a shot.
Him versus Hobby Lawler?
I think that would be exciting. Jeez, man. Those two are fucking crazy. That would be crazy.
Yeah,
I think I like it, man. Two strikers, no, this shit not going to the ground, you know? I think they throw down, and it's going to be exciting. I think he matches up well. Robbie's more of a boxer. I mean, Cerrone's got the Muay Thai thing going. It'll be good. I like it.
I like Cerrone at 170. Matthew Whitehurst, how do you feel about the absence of Ariel Helwani, Dana White, Joe Rogan, and Mike Goldberg from the UFC? Will this UFC be as successful without them? Anticipating a sale or whatever, just saying all those people will leave. You think that UFC is as successful without them?
If they don't change the way they approach their branding, I would say no. But if they refocus on the fighters, I think definitely could be bigger than it is now. But if they continue to do this bullshit of company vanilla nonsense, then no. They have no more personalities at that point.
Yeah.
They need to have something. So...
Vanilla UFC sucks. The uniform, it's just so boring. Come on, guys. It's 2016. We've been doing this for a year. Get rid of the... You know what the new company could do? Hey, USADA, go fuck yourself. Yeah, you're right. Out. You're fucking out, and I'm fucking in.
That's right.
Matt Grew is running drug testing.
Perfect.
Guess what? Did you take any drugs? No. How about that for a dollar? That guy's good. He's good, Ingo. Pee in a cup, puts it on the table. That's right. We're doing it pride style.
When was the last time you took steroids? Trick question. Yes, no, or last weekend.
That's right. Yes. This guy fucks. He's in. Yes. You pass the smell test, too. I don't give a shit. Everyone wins. Eighth Wall on Twitter asks, what did you guys think of the weigh-in antics for UFC Ottawa? There were bubbles, muffins, wigs, and a puppy. Really? I don't know. It's kind of ridiculous. I saw a lot of that shit. And
yeah.
What else can they do? Because you can't do like a walkout entrance that's cool. You have to wear all Reebok branded gear. I don't know. People are just trying to do something unique, and I'm not offended by it.
No.
If Fedor was knocked unconscious in the first round, could he have continued weekend at Fedor's style? Kind of like a weekend at Bernie's?
Does it prop him up? Yes, I think they would do that. The referee might even hold him up. Come on.
He's still going. Come on, wake up, Fedor. I can't believe what's going on in the octagon. What the hell is going on? As long as you get that ref, you can do whatever, or the announcer. That's, I'm okay with this.
Absolutely.
How much should the UFC be paying Cowboy Cerrone for a fight? Payment and Budweiser, not an option. Didn't you say a quarter of a million?
I think 250 is fair.
Fuck yes. The guy needs to be getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
If you, the Nuts, were given 3 Octagon side tickets to UFC 200, who would you give the ticket to? And selling the ticket is not an option.
Wait, do we still get to go?
Yes. It's me, you, and one extra ticket.
Oh, okay. One extra ticket?
That's right.
Ouch. That's a tough decision.
You're giving it to
that means we'd have to agree. Can we pick anybody and they would come for sure? How does that work? How does that? Does that have to be somebody
well,
we know?
I'm gonna change it and say you get an extra ticket. I get an extra ticket.
Perfect.
Pick someone.
Pick someone. I would, but again, do I get to pick anybody or does it have to be somebody I know?
Well, it's got to be someone that's gonna go.
You go first. I'm thinking.
Oh, I'd take my mother-in-law.
Seriously?
Yeah, because I guess the other day the UFC was on and they were watching it at my brother-in-law's house for some reason. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're watching UFC without me because I'm not there. And at one point I told her I would take her to some fights, and this was back when we were going to the local regional ones, sitting cage side, and we just never got around to it. But she still wants to go. I would take her if it was. Legit seeds to a fucking
UFC
octagon
200.
Side at UFC 200. Why not?
My list is short. I'm not sure. I feel like the fucking guy on Silicon Valley. I'm like, here, have you can have.
I have no one.
All my boys are skiing in the Vail.
Yes,
you know,
I can't contact anybody.
They're all busy right now.
Come on, Dinesh, pick someone. Fuck.
Okay, what are you, Gilfoyle?
You don't you have any friends.
Exactly.
Let's go get some coffee.
Yeah.
Hey, quit picking on Jared, all right?
Let me think.
I don't know this man.
You know what? If I had to pick,
yeah.
I think I'd take Brian from work because he's fucking crazy.
we'd get kicked out.
That would be the best.
Upset he'd UFC.
Feed him drinks all night, and he just loses his mind. So
he's so racist.
He's crazy. He'd probably get us killed.
Dude, this is not the time and place to be saying. Yeah. 99.93% of what
that's
you have
right.
to say.
Or it can bring actual Brian, because they're kind of similar. One of the two
we'll
Brians.
We'll bring the two Brians.
Oh,
we'll see how it works out.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my That'll God. That one didn't work out well, too.
Oh.
Him and I went to a local show once many, many years ago. Got way, way wasted. That was fun.
Didn't you flood a hotel or something?
Huh? I did flood a hotel. They tried to charge me for damage after the fact. I don't know. I woke up in a bathtub and the water was overflowing.
Oh,
someone's knocking on the door. And then I wake up and there's 3 to 4 inches of water on the bathroom floor. And the guy's like, I'm fucking taking a bath. They're like, the people behind you are complaining that the ceiling is raining down. Like, I don't know what the fuck, your bathtub is defective. The thing's not draining. They charged me like $300. I disputed it on the credit card. And I won.
Awesome.
don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Don't drink. That's the moral of the story. Moving into, excuse me, knowledge. Fucking hell. So, have you seen this elephant that's about to get busy, but he gives diarrhea?
No.
I don't know how good my internet connection is going to be. I look at the internet. So he's about to go at it, and then he shits himself out, and then he falls over, and that's the end of his little party train. Unfortunately, my video is so choppy, it's ruining your viewing experience.
Did he shit himself already?
Yeah, like right as he goes to enter, he shits himself out, and then he falls off a mount onto the ground, and then he just sits there in shame and disappointment and gets no pussy. I feel so bad.
Oh, that's funny. No, I did not see that.
So disappointing.
Matt's on fire today.
It's all good. That's all I have for knowledge. Anything else?
No. Game of Thrones. I think tonight will be fucking crazy. That's all. Episode 9 is always awesome. Remember, every episode is great. Usually somewhere slower, but episode 9, the episode right before the last one, usually crazy. Shit's gonna get. I fucking love it.
Shit's going down.
Yes. So, anyways. All
right.
That's all I got.
Shut downs.
That's been this week's edition of Minutes. My name is Igor Wago.
Hi, Griffith. Thanks for playing.